You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to faint, but
yeah, but I'm not. It just seems... It just seems like I'm crazy. Good Thursday morning to you, and a good morning it is. I don't know if you're a hockey fan and you watch the United States women's hockey team play the Canadiens in what is one of the most intense rivalries in sports. Yeah, because they get it on. And when they play, and they play a fair amount, so it's a contested, tough rivalry, with the United States owning the world championships, I want to say 7 out of the last 8 years, but not being able to win the Olympic gold medal in the last 4 Olympics. Should have won it in Sochi, up 2-0 with, 2 minutes left, and lost. And they've been living with that for 4 years. So the gold medal trip that a lot of them went on last night was an 8-year trip for many of them. Over the course of a 9-year trip, over the course of 3 different Olympic Games. And for those of you who don't know, 2 of the girls that played are friends of mine, our family. Their father, Pierre Lamoureux, the reason I moved to North Dakota in 1998 was he called, and my oldest son, John, the captain, was a pretty good defenseman when he was a kid, and he still is a great backward skater. And so Pierre was putting together a team of kids with 1987 year group birthdays. And they would go to Grand Forks, North Dakota. I'd never even been to the state. And they would go train there for a week and then go play in AAA tournaments during the summer. A couple of them, one in Calgary. So they trained in Banff, which is absolutely beautiful. The Rocky Mountains up in Canada, gorgeous up there. And then they trained for a second tournament in Winnipeg, Winnipeg about 2 hours north of Grand Forks. So I said, yeah, it'd be a great opportunity. So, we go up there, and Grand Forks is a town of 70,000 people, about 100,000 in the metropolitan statistical area if you include the counties on both sides of the river. About a third of that number is on the Minnesota side of the border, and the other 2/3 on the North Dakota side of the border. So anyway, we move up there, and our kids go to the same school, Century Elementary School. I have my younger son Patrick, the lieutenant. I think he's 7, maybe 8. Yeah, he's 8. He's going to be a mite. He is a mite. So he'd already played a year in San Diego. So he gets on a team, and 2 of the players on the team are girls. And they are Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux. And they're 8 years old. And so from the time Patrick was 8 till he was probably 13 or 14, he played with Monique and Jocelyn. And they have always been great, great players. They grew up playing with boys. They have 4 brothers. But they take, if you watched them play last night, they play with a bit of grit. They play with their teeth clenched. They're intense girls, and they're not afraid. And that comes straight from their dad. Pierre was born and raised in Edmonton, outside Edmonton, Alberta, played hockey at the University of North Dakota, stayed after he played. And married a swimmer, Linda, and they had 6 kids. The last 2, twin girls. And So our families, our friends, and I don't know if I can, if you can put into words, you know, what you feel when, first of all, they were crushed after they lost in Sochi, to be winning that late. And, you know, and I think you know in sports, and I grew up with a dad in Major League Baseball, sometimes you get beaten, and you know, and that's fairly easy to live with. They were better than us. Sometimes you lose a game, and you can't even think about it. It turns your stomach. Same thing in the military. The enemy has a vote, and sometimes, given a set of circumstances, the enemy's better than you. However, it's really tough to live with, and some guys, I think it's the worst fate anybody lives with in the military, is when something goes wrong and you know that you guys got cut taking shortcuts. And if you have to live with that, that is a fate worse than death. And so, in athletic terms, you know, for them, they played in the Olympics. This is their third. So their first one would have been in Vancouver. And they came home and they talked about how they got treated by the Canadians horribly, to the point where they didn't want to wear their Olympic stuff out in town because of the abuse they got from mostly Canadian men, half-drunk Canadian men who were at the Olympics out having a good time, being screamed at. Yeah, as they walked down the street. So anyway, they won the silver medal there. And then in Sochi, they were up 2-0. And they had tough games with the Canadians. And they had their way pretty much with the Canadians that year. And then they lost. Devastated. And so these last 4 years have been, and they've won the World Cup. As I said, 7 of the last 8 years. So the World Cup is, you know, the national team gets converted to the Olympic team. They have a tryout and, you know, it converts and then there may be a few people added or whatever. But now in a non-Olympic year, the national team will play, in the World Cup of hockey. And it's the same athletes playing for a different title. The United States has won that 7 of 8 years. So their dominance in the World Cup is unrivaled. But the Canadians have owned the Olympics. So anyway, so last night, I'm going to play a couple clips right here of, if you didn't watch it. If you didn't watch it, you should watch it. I'm sure at some point NBC will show an instant classic version of last night's game. But again, I would tell you that it's, I don't know that you can put into words, you know, you see these girls from the time that they're little. And they swam, they played soccer. They used to do this throw-in thing where they would, you know, they'd have the ball on the side in soccer, and they would take a few steps back, and they would run, and then they would do this somersault. They had the ball in both hands, and they'd do this somersault forward where they would launch themselves forward. They'd use the ball as a kind of a springboard. They'd do a somersault, and then they would fling the ball like a distance that you're not supposed to be able to fling that thing. And so they've always been gifted athletes. But their greatest asset is their intensity, their physical ability combined with their intensity and their smarts. And you saw that last night. So play a couple of clips from the Olympics. We'll check out the news of the day. And then, on a different radio show that I did, I stopped doing, maybe 4 weeks ago. One of the last interviews I did, it was a local show that I did in my old hometown of Grand Forks, where they're from. I had them come on, and you're going to hear, I'll play that today. They are Olympic gold medalists. they are great friends. And you know, I texted Pierre last night, who was there, and I said, I don't know that I could put into words how proud, how happy I am for the girls, you, Linda, after tonight. What an incredible win, you know, and they had huge parts in it. Monique scores the tying goal that sends it into overtime in the third period with about 6.5 minutes left, and then Jocelyn scores in the shootout, and what proves to be the game-winning goal in an overtime shootout. It's a sick goal, by the way. The move is, it's not like she just barely gets this thing in the net. The Canadian goalie is went that way, and Jocelyn, because Jocelyn does this head fake and uses her stick in her hands, you know, and then cuts and then pulls it back and goes the other way and slams it in the net. But so you'll hear an interview I did with them almost a month ago, okay, just before they went to the Olympics. So you'll hear that today. We'll check the news. Big in the news is a story about the infantry officer course in Quantico, it changing. Now, one of the things that I'll get to that in a second. So let me continue to bask in the Olympic afterglow. All right, so 6 minutes and 28 seconds left in the third period. The Canadians are kind of have the game in control. Much of the United States plays on the outside, on the periphery, as the Canadians are up 2-1. 6 minutes and 28 seconds left in the third period. When the United States is coming out of its zone, the Canadians attempt a line change, and Monique Lamour goes into action. So here you have it.
Nurse on her left. Long pass ahead to Monique Lamoureux, holding it on Zobas. She scores!
Big missed opportunity for Canada on that 2-on-1. Great play by Falzer to take the pass away. Eyes up, looking across. Falzer comes over, misses the net. That creates this huge opportunity for Monique Lamoureux. Great eyes up, looking in. Low glove side. I said stay away from the glove, but keeps it low enough right here. Buries it.
Terrible change by the Canadians. That's why there was so much time and space and really good awareness by Team USA to tie it up.
Nice. Nice. And then in overtime. They had done the shootout, right? And, so the shootout goes, five shooters back and forth. At the end of five, then you go ahead and you go 1-1-1-1-1. So, the shootout is five. And then, at the end of the shootout, they're tied. So, the coach could have put out one of the shooters, but I will tell you, oddly enough, neither one of the Lamoureux girls, who I would tell you are sick in these things, neither one of them scored, were put out to shoot in the shootout. And so, first up, and then the United States shot first. So the sequence, was the United States shoots first and then defends second. So it goes 1-1, 1-1. You go back and forth until somebody scores and somebody stops a goal. So the move is absolutely, absolutely positively sick. And like I said, having watched them since they were 8 years old, I don't know that you could put it into words how happy you are for them, for their family. All the work, you know, that's gone into it. Here she is.
Two goals apiece in the shootout. Lamoureux moving in on Zabanas. She deeps and scores! Oh, my gosh. That's electrifying. That's as good as you're going to see anywhere.
Great move, great hands, great deception. finding the hole right there. We saw her take a shootout earlier in this tournament, unable to capitalize. Makes it count today.
Must beat Mooney to keep Canada's hopes alive. She is stuck! The United States has gold in Pyeongchang!
Yeah, if you didn't see it last night, it was awesome. Absolutely, positively awesome. You know, and then you look around the different sports pages, and here's, you know, two women that you've known since they were since they were eight, right? Lamoureux twins lead USA Hockey to gold. So pretty amazing. So you'll hear the interview that I did with them about a month ago. You'll hear that here coming up after we get the show, after we check the news. And then Michael join us. And then the Gunner will join us. So pretty cool stuff last night, for me personally, for friends of mine specifically. And you'll hear from Monique and Jocelyn. In fact, I texted their dad last night. He said, hey, you need to get them on your show, when they get back. They're a little busy. So congratulations to the U.S. women's, hockey team. And you know, again, you know, under a lot of, stress, under a lot of pressure, mostly self-induced. So, congratulations to them. The United States Marine Corps Band ushers in the morning. Good morning to you. You know, and then watching it last night, yeah, Napa Man just texted me. I watched it all. Was on the verge of hurling throughout the shootout. So exciting. And you're sitting there, you know, I'm sitting there watching it last night, and except these are girls that you've known since they were little kids, right? You've seen them at report card night, right? You've gone and had dinner at their house. You've taken them to games. You've taken them home with you. You know, all the stuff you do as parents when you're, you know, you and other families are kind of doing the same thing, and you're doing it for years. And then you look, when they after everybody has their medals, and you see them, and something that you've seen forever, right, at the Olympics, which is the American flag going up and the national anthem being played. And, you know, here's two girls that you know that are having that moment. And I will tell you this, it's their third Olympics. In the interview you'll hear with them, they're not done playing. Well, they're getting paid. They're getting paid now. They want to start having kids, but they want to play. And I will tell you what, there weren't better players on the ice last night or in this Olympics than Monique and Jocelyn. So I don't know that they're done playing. They're both 28 years old. They think they can still play. They're incredible athletes. They train a lot of high school athletes now. And so hopefully they'll play again. Hopefully they'll play again in the next Olympics. So anyway, this is dedicated to U.S. Women's Hockey Team. Congratulations on representing the nation in a tough game with the Canadians and overcoming all the adversity that they have and being great role models for young women and young men all across the country. Well done, ladies.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We don't put enough emphasis on winning anymore. Yeah. Americans, it's what we do. It's what the nation was made on. All right, we'll check the weather. Cloudy in 55 in Quantico. Mostly cloudy in 74 at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Snowing in 33 in Granbury, Texas. Huh? Clouds and two above at Big Timber, Montana, where they've gone back into the deep freeze. Cold in 29 Palms. Sunny in 35. Camp Pendleton, sunny in 40.
What?
Okinawa, raining, dark, and 61 degrees. Marja, warming up. Cloudy, 69 degrees in Afghanistan. In the Helmand province. currently at the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. Cloudy skies, 47 degrees. Wind chill sitting at 45. This is stupid. The high today, 60. On Friday, sunny and 61. On Saturday, sunny and 62. What is up with that? All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. On a, yeah, fired up today. Fired up today. Last night was awesome.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. A couple emails. One's a text message from last night. Nerves of Steel. That was awesome to watch. That's a product of. You wonder how you get to be like that. When they started, right? They were really good athletes. They were as good as any boys when they were 8, 9, 10, 11. The boys hadn't hit puberty. And they were athletic, you know, exceptional girls who grew up, you know, playing with their brothers. And so, they weren't as good. They were better than most boys. They were as physical. They could handle the puck. They were as fast. And then, but the big deal was, yeah, wait till they get to checking and we'll see what's what. Well, then you get to, I think it's, 11, 12, and you can check. They used to annihilate boys. they used to annihilate boys all over the North Dakota, Minnesota region. Yeah. Those poor kids were like scarred when they'd see those two girls walk into the rink. Yeah. I'm going to crush you today, dude. And so, and from the time they were little, they were known as the Lamoureux twins. And, people knew they were coming. There'd be people that show up simply to watch them play. Yeah, just to watch them play. And so then they played, I want to say they played a year of Bantams, which is 13, 14, probably 8th grade. And then they got offers to go to a hockey school, really, Shattuck St. Mary's. And so they went down there and they played, and that is a big time. You know, you're on the ice every day as opposed to, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. And you go to school there. It is a big time. I don't know if you've heard, there's a hockey player by the name of Zach Parise. His dad played in the NHL. He ran the hockey program there. And so Monique and Jocelyn went down there and played. From there, they went to the University of Minnesota. The University of North Dakota, where their dad and three of their four brothers played, had just started a women's hockey team, but they were not very good. And so I want to say at the end of their sophomore years, they transferred.
to the University of North Dakota, came back to their hometown to play. And they put the University of North Dakota on the map. Other girls came to play with them. But so there, and then they started playing on the women's national team, right? The under 16 team, the under 18 team, stuff like that. And then they played on the women's national team and in the World Cup and with, but so throughout their whole lives, they have been the subject of scrutiny. And so it's been really, really interesting to watch them develop as young people. First of all, imagine how mentally tough that you have to be to withstand that burden. Okay. But the good thing for them always, and they say this, is, hey, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I have my twin sister with me to fortify me, to push me. I have a workout partner all the time, right? So it's been very interesting to watch. And they are mentally tough, hard girls. Because that's the way their dad is. They are every bit what he is. So again, really, really interesting. Really interesting to watch them, and just the mental toughness that it takes to perform on that stage at that level. And to do great things on that stage at that level. Here's another one. Mac, pretty amazing. Just the intensity of that whole game. I thought the Canadians had the upper hand throughout much of it, although the U.S. looked like the higher skilled team. I thought the Canadians played a better team game. You know, and I sent essentially that text to our little group last night. Guy, you know, Napa Man was watching it. F-18 Man, Kurt Knowles, he coaches girls soccer. And I should actually hook them up. I'm sure Monika Jocelyn would love the VTC with his team or something like that. But, and talk to them. But it looked like, in my opinion, the USA was being outcoached. Although they had higher skilled players, most of what they were doing was on the periphery. And with goalies that good, you know, you've got to get somebody in front of them, and then you got to throw it at the net, and then it's ugly goals. And so it looked like it was going to be that way, 2-1 in the third until they won. But yeah, so interesting in terms of, watching, you know, kids go from a very, very young age to being Olympic gold medal winners, in their third Olympics. And so as I said, you'll hear them. You'll hear them on the program in the not too distant future. And then you'll hear an interview I did a few weeks ago with them. And the interviews are fun because, you know, you go back so long, you know, with the family. Anyway, we'll, check out, Marine Corps headlines. We'll check out the early bird and then, head over to Stars and Stripes, see what they have going on and, task and purpose. So, we'll make the rounds this morning. We'll check the news for you, and then you'll hear, as I said, you'll hear an interview I did with them. If you can't tell, I'm moderately excited. Again, for their family, for them, and everybody who supported them. Just an awesome, awesome day for two girls that are. And let me just tell you, this is the kind of girls they are. I get an email saying, "Hey, Mr. McNamara, I've heard you help, you know, veteran causes. My dad, who's a former Marine, is he's putting on fundraisers to raise money to send people on honor flights. Okay, those of you who know what an honor flight is, back to Washington, D.C. Will you help? Well, absolutely, I'll help. So they said, and they're doing it in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So they said, do you think you could get us a stick or something from the Lamoureux girls? I said, yes, absolutely I can. So, you know, pick up the phone, and I call, I can't remember who I called, Monique or Jocelyn. And, you know, they answer the phone, hey, Mike, how are you? Yeah, I think the only people that call me Mike. My cousin Tom calls me Mike, but most of my friends call me Mac. But anyway, Pierre calls me Mike. So so they call me Mike. So anyway, I said, I need a favor. And they said, yeah, what? And I said, can you autograph pictures, a stick, so that they could use in a silent auction? They said, yeah. We have stuff at home that we've already done. So is it for somebody in Grand Forks? I said, yeah, they're doing this. And they said, can you just text us the address? We'll send it to our mom and she'll drop it off. Boom. Yeah. And I've always been great with my family when I was gone. And they're not small celebrities in that part of the country. So, and then another girl that comes from not too far from Grand Forks is Gigi Marvin, who played on that team last night. She comes from War Road, Minnesota. So anyway, all right, some headlines. Infantry officer, of course, lowers requirements for hikes. Now, we're going to do a few programs on this and look at this. But the bottom line is the Marine Corps has lowered its standards at the infantry officer course. Now, in this whole nut roll about gender integration and all that, what was the one thing that you heard? Don't lower the standards. Okay, so let me walk you down a road that the schools of infantry went down. They had to validate their requirements. So what does validate mean? Validate means you have to take the MOS requirements and you have to look at what you do in the course, and those events in the course have to match up to the MOS standards and requirements. Why? So tell me, why is that important? It's important because we're going to have to go defend this shit in front of the House Armed Service Committee and the Senate Armed Service Committee. And there are people out to get us. Okay, so let me bottom line that for you. There are people out to get us, and they think that we have standards specifically designed to keep women out. Okay, so schools of infantry went through that, they validated the requirements. And what they told the commandant and what he said on this program is that this is by the commanders of both SOI East, School of Infantry East, and SOI West. All right, there's one on each coast. We are going to be able to send you a higher quality infantryman across the board. We now have MOS-related requirements. Before, all you had to do is pass the PFT, and we could move you through the course. Okay? So, that's on the enlisted side. Now on the officer side, which is a much more sensitive issue because no woman had been able to get through the infantry officer course. And the gender integration, big debate, yeah, okay, we got it, as long as you don't change the standards. All right, so IOC goes to the same validation program, and it's been going on for a while. And so out rolls these lower standards. First, the first one rolled out. One of the things that killed a lot of people attempting to get through the infantry officer course was this combat pass-fail combat endurance test. It started evidently in 1994. Okay, it has not always been pass-fail. Okay, it was made pass-fail in 2014. All right, can you justify it as pass-fail? Maybe, maybe not. Marine Corps decides that's not the fight we want to fight. Hasn't always been pass-fail, so we're going to make it one more part of the course. All right, I got it. Now, the requirement for hiking has been lowered. The question is this simply doing the bidding and lowering the standards so women can be included? All right, so if you go to, so the headline is, infantry officer lowers course, lowers requirement for hikes. It's written by Sean Snow. He's essentially taken, what's Jeff's last name? He just left and went to Task and Purpose. Jeff Shogel. He's essentially taken Shogel's spot there as kind of the feature story writer. Faced with towering attrition rates, the Marine Corps has steadily modified its grueling infantry officer course. Changes that top Marines say are not attempts to water down standards, but to more accurately replicate today's real-world requirements. Okay, now, behind all of this, remember, are senators, female senators, that are scrutinizing, right, this gender integration and your standards. Okay? So that is the backdrop of all this, whether anybody cares to admit it or not. Recent changes include the number of evaluated hikes required to pass the course and the removal of the physically demanding combat endurance test as a strict requirement to graduate. Okay? I don't have a problem with removing the combat endurance test. Okay, but I think I do have a problem with some hikes being not evaluated. What the hell does that mean? Under the new requirements, only 3 of those 9 hikes will be evaluated, and Marines will have to pass all 3 evaluated hikes in order to graduate. Well, what about the ones that you don't, that aren't evaluated? Does that mean that if you're falling out of those, if you suck on those, that that's not part of the evaluation? And the picture I would paint is somebody can't do the combat endurance course. They struggle in 6 of the 9 hikes. They stagger through the other 3. We're going to graduate that human being? No, we're not. And we shouldn't. The condition that IOC Marines at IOC participate in 9 hikes remains unchanged. Yeah, what's next? Sign up for the hikes you want to do? Under the previous rules, 6 of those hikes were evaluated. How is it all not evaluated? That's what I don't get. And I don't mean pass-fail, but who the hell drops out of hikes when you're a grunt? If you're going to be a leader. I don't get this shit. Under the previous rules, 6 of those hikes were evaluated, and Marines had to pass 5 of the 6 evaluated hikes. The Corps in recent years has struggled to meet its goals in graduating an adequate number of new infantry officers. Attrition rates reached as high as 25% in 2014. But since implementing the new modifications last year, the Corps hit its target for the first time since 2008. Brigadier General Jason Bohm, who I taught at IOC when he was a second lieutenant, the commanding officer of the Marine Corps Training Command, told reporters at a roundtable discussion on Friday.
The Marine Corps argues the changes made to the hikes more accurately reflect standards outlined in the Marine Corps Infantry Training and Readiness Manual, standards that undergo a formal evaluation every 3 years. Attrition rates under 10% are considered acceptable, but Boehm said he would like to see those numbers around 5%. So what does that mean? Keep lowering the standards until you get the number you want? I'm somewhat vexed. Quote, that was a principal driver behind us making modifications to the course, Boehm said. But he argues it was not about lowering attrition. Huh? It was about making students more successful to complete the course. Is it me? Or is somebody spinning a tale here? Attrition rates below 10% are considered acceptable, but Boehm said he'd like to see those numbers at 5%. And then in the next breath, that was a principal driver behind us making modifications to the course. But, he argues, it was not about lowering attrition. Well, what the hell was it about? It was about making students more successful to complete the course by lowering the number of evaluated events? Good God, man. Then we get to the meat of the story. The Corps has come under criticism regarding the notoriously grueling 13-week infantry course that so far has seen only one woman successfully graduate. There you go, sports fans. That's what we're talking about. But most washouts from IRC are men. Only 35 women have attempted the course, and only 5 of those have attended the course after the job field was open to women. The recent changes, the Corps argues, have nothing to do with gender integration in the combat arms job fields or a watering down of any standards. Quote, technically, what we have done is we have modified graduation requirements, but we actually tie our requirements now more to the TNR, which is the Training and Readiness Manual. One of the evaluated hikes was changed to meet gender-neutral standards referred to as Military Occupational Specialty Specific Performance Standards. The 2015 NDAA called for the service branches to draft gender-neutral standards as the services began gender integration into combat jobs previously closed to women. That hike that was changed is the 15-kilometer hike, which must be completed in 3 hours while hiking 105 pounds of kit and weapons. 2 other hikes evaluated for graduation purpose are a 7-mile hike carrying 95 pounds and a 9-mile hike carrying 105 pounds. The hikes are progressive in both distance and weight, Boehm said. But the Corps has struggled to adequately explain how its changes to the infantry officer course are not an attempt to make the course easier, especially if one of the intended goals is to increase graduation numbers. The combat endurance test was first introduced in 1994, but was only a graduation requirement pass-fail from 2012 to 2017. I've got emails from guys who did not pass it and were brought back on a Saturday to run it again so they could pass it, which to me is the way it should be.
And so then you have this argument that we really were operating in Afghanistan in more austere environment, so that's why we changed it, which I think is ridiculous. But that's what General Boehm says. They were now fighting in mountainous terrain, foot mobile, carrying loads in austere conditions. So that started to modify the physical expectations of what was required. Where were Marines were operating mostly in helmet? There wasn't too many mountains, at least where I was. Quote, the course is as hard as it's ever been. We did not do away with any training events, Boehm said. Oh, you just fairy dusted in terms of will it be evaluated? I got it. But the Corps did make a major modification to one of those grueling hikes known as the Weapons Company and Weapons Platoon hike. Okay, which is right. You're gonna hike the weapons that Weapons Company 50 cal Mark 19 and Weapons Platoon hikes with. Previously, Marines had to conduct a single-file force march carrying heavy and medium weapon systems. They could weigh anywhere from 125 to 150 pounds. Because that's the job. And some of these lieutenants are going to lead those Marines. There was a lot of angst about our students having to carry 150 pounds, Boehm said. From who? People that have done it? Oh, from politicians. I got it. Now the hike is done as a tactical displacement where Marines practice bounding. Read, we can stop when we want to, during a simulated attack. The Marines are no longer required to single-handedly carry all 125 to 150 pounds and can pass the weight off to a buddy as they tire. Boehm argues that this modification better reflects operational reality. What about if you're a non-hacker? Is this hike evaluated? Or can the weak get through this one too? So you don't pass the combat endurance test. You fail on six of the nine hikes, to include this one where you can't carry shit, and you're still going to get passed? And we're not going to say that standards got lowered. Why is the term bullshit coming into my head? Marine spread load weapon systems during marches. No single Marine ever carries the weight of the heavy weapon system themselves. That weight is passed throughout the platoon or company throughout the hike. Now, to graduate from IOC, a Marine officer will need to participate in a total of nine hikes. Stand by for that to change. Yeah, I don't feel like going on this one. Pass three evaluated hikes. Conduct a combat endurance test. So you got to participate in it. Although passing it's no longer a requirement. Participate in six tactical field exercises. Pass infantry officer physical standard requirements, which include a 15-kilometer hike with 105 pounds on in 3 hours. Whoa. Cross a 56-inch wall unassisted in 30 seconds. Conduct a ground casualty evacuation, 214-pound dummy in 54 seconds. Lift a Mark 19 heavy machine gun, 77 pounds over your head. Rush 300 meters to an objective in 3 minutes and 56 seconds. There you have it, and you can be one of the few, one of the proud, one of the Marines. So we've been waiting for this little nugget to drop for a while, and here's what I would have to say. All that stuff should be evaluated. And when somebody performs on the bottom end and fails, and he's given a chance to remediate and fails again, for instance, like the CET, you should have to pass that to leave. You may fail it the first time,
But we'll run it every weekend till you pass. If you don't pass, guess what? And if you're dropping out of hikes, you're supposed to lead them, man. You're just not another human being in the machine. But let me tell you who we're answering to. We're answering to the female senators, in my opinion, on the Senate Armed Service Committee. Christine Hildebrand. Yep. That's what this is designed. All right. We haven't seen the transgender policy yet. You've heard the prediction. It's official. Pizza's back in the MRE. I've never had MRE pizza. I never had MRE pizza. All right. That's it on the on Marine Corps Times. The early bird, real quick, and then you'll hear Jocelyn and Monique Lamoureux. Top five stories. Number one, China to the U.S. Don't use us as an excuse to alter your nuclear strategy. Hey, memo to China, shut up. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Memo to you, stop building, stop being a bully in the South China Sea. Live by what the Court of the Hague decides, and then come sit down and talk to us. And rein in your idiot stepson up in North Korea. Until then, shut up. Small drones in the Middle East have become a $333 million problem. So, yeah, solving that problem, that's where the cost comes in. Small drones, what do we do about them? NCOs without Joes, what it's like to serve in the Army's new advisor brigade. Next story in the Air Force Times. Different spanks for different ranks. Lawmaker questions lack of court-martials for Air Force generals. A leading lawmaker has called out the Air Force for never court-martialing a single general officer in its entire history, suggesting it shows higher-ranking personnel face different punishments. You think? When you don't court-martial anybody in your entire history, you might have an issue there. And as we keep our tabs on the Navy, there's an interesting story in Navy Times. Officers of the deck, to undergo competency tests. The Navy has begun randomly testing surface fleet officers on their OOD skills in order to better understand where the community's strengths and weaknesses lie. Yeah, but if you fail, there won't be any repercussions. You'll still go on with your horse shit career. Right? Because we're not about consequences anymore. You know, because there is no standard, in spite of us running ships into each other, that we won't waive or modify, because it's not your fault. First, Stars and Stripes, a couple headlines. First troops among new frontline advisor brigade arrive in Afghanistan. The first security assistance brigade, an army brigade of advisors in Afghanistan. Ivanka Trump's in the news. Ivanka Trump, an ex-North Korea spy master to attend the Olympics closing ceremonies. The investigation, what happened when four soldiers were killed in Nizhar, is coming, and there's questions being asked, as is appropriate. In in a sad story, Chris Hixon, who was the athletic director and a coach in Parkland, Florida, who was shot and killed, had deployed to the Persian Gulf twice, a wrestling coach and a guy who gave his time tirelessly
coached, teams were going to be eliminated because they couldn't afford coaches. He'd step in and coach them. And then was killed in the shooting in Parkland, Florida. He was laid to rest yesterday. So thoughts and prayers to his, family. And then there's an interesting story in Stars and Stripes. U.S. will return to Vietnam and Sri Lanka during Pacific Partnership mission. So Vietnam becoming a becoming an ally of the United States against a common enemy in that part of the world, China. Yep. Task and Purpose, the number one headline. Here's why veterans groups are circling the wagons around the embattled VA Secretary, Mr. Shulkin. And I'll leave it at that. We'll take a break. When we come back, you'll hear from Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux. They are the Olympic gold medal, Olympic winning hockey players. They're friends of mine. I did a show in my hometown called Mac Talk. That's how I got my start in radio. And so I had them on. I was still doing that show up until about a month ago. And I had them on just before I stopped doing it. And here's and so you'll hear that interview about that did with them going just before they left the Olympics. So on a morning when we salute the women's hockey team, their gold medal effort in an overtime shootout. These two girls, Monique scored the tying goal in third period. Jocelyn scored the game winner in the last frame of the shootout. You'll hear from them coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product
at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.